America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, where this great nation has been rent by a great and huge and terrific and bitter controversy launched by the concerted efforts of the left, a controversy surrounding what's called the Downing Street Memorandum. It's actually the Downing Street minutes that allegedly prove that Bush lied, that Bush misled us into war, that Bush and Blair conspired together to distort intelligence and to mislead America's people, to mislead the people of the United Kingdom. Is that true? Is the Downing Street Memorandum really the sensational smoking gun that the left says it is? We're going to tell you the truth in some detail for the first time about this very controversial document that is getting a lot of attention. President Bush and Tony Blair, when they were together earlier this week, were asked about it, and they both gave a definitive answer, which we're going to share with you. We're going to look in some detail at the Downing Street memo, which has been a dark obsession of the American left. On this special broadcast today from a great location right here for KSKY, 660 AM in Dallas, Texas. I'm broadcasting today from deep in the heart of Texas with a bunch of great folks here. You can come out. We're celebrating the second anniversary of this great radio station, KSKY, and we're at the Richardson Hotel in Richardson, Texas, I assume. That's where we are, right? Okay, thank you. That's where we are. We're celebrating this very special occasion. There's some birthday cake for the radio station, and people are very welcome to participate in it, and we have a whole bunch of folks here, and there's going to be a whole bunch of festivities, and I hope people can come out, because there's reason to celebrate, particularly if you happen to believe in the Bush administration, as I do, and to believe that a lot of this stuff on the left is just total, complete nonsense. For instance, now John Conyers, who is the ranking Democrat on the House Judiciary Committee, who's actually been very nice to me. He's been a guest on this radio show. He's called me to Washington for testimony before the Judiciary Committee. I found Representative Conyers to be personally a nice man. Politically, he's a moron. And politically, he's pathetic. But he's a very kind and courtly gentleman. In any event, John Conyers, the ranking Democrat on the House Judiciary Committee, has announced that MoveOn.org is helping to join his petition calling on President Bush to provide new answers surrounding the lead up to the war in Iraq with questions raised by the Downing Street Memorandum. Today, I am pleased to announce that MoveOn.org, one of the pioneers in internet activism, has joined our drive to demonstrate that the stonewalling of the White House on the Downing Street minutes will not stand. We deserve answers, and we deserve them now, Conyers said in a statement. Now, this stuff is nuts. There's a group called Democrats.com, and absolutely one of my favorite locations on the web. Democrats.com was offering $1,000 to anybody who could get Bush to answer directly on the Downing Street minutes. And they were offering $1,000. I'm wondering if they paid Reuters, because a reporter for Reuters asked Bush and Blair about this Downing Street memorandum controversy, and they answered about as directly as they could. Here's what President Bush said on June 7th. President Bush said, there's nothing further from the truth, when he was asked, do these notes of a private meeting in the British government involving the Prime Minister and the Foreign Minister, Foreign Secretary, and the Defense Minister, and the top officials of the British government, did that meeting show that President Bush was lying to the American people and misleading people and distorting evidence? President Bush, when asked about that document, said, there's nothing further from the truth, he said about the so-called Downing Street memo. Look, both of us didn't want to use our military. Nobody wants to commit military to combat. It's the last option. Mr. Blair, standing at Bush's side in a joint news conference in the East Room, said, no, the facts were not being fixed in any shape or form at all. The two expressed common ground most emphatically on the Downing Street memo, which was written by Matthew Rycroft, a top aide to Mr. Blair. In particular, it reports that Sir Richard Dearlove, the chief of Britain's Secret Intelligence Service, had been in talks in Washington and had told other senior officials that Mr. Bush wanted to remove Mr. Hussein through military action justified by the conjunction of terrorism and WMD, or weapons of mass destruction. Now, see, here you get into the way that people play games with language. When he says, and he writes in the Downing Street memo, I'm going to read chunks of this memo to you so you can judge for yourself. You can also go to our website. We are so unembarrassed by the Downing Street minutes. We have posted the entire thing so you can read it yourself. I wish you would. Don't believe the John Conyers of this world. Don't believe the Charlie Rangels of this world. Don't believe the Hillary Clintons of this world or the John Kerrys of this world. John Kerry has called upon people to investigate potential impeachment based on this, that there may be impeachable offenses. Read the bloody thing. It speaks for itself. It's about as clear as it could be that President Bush and Prime Minister Blair absolutely believed and knew, at least they felt they knew, that there were weapons of mass destruction and were concerned about it. It does not indicate when, for instance, the memorandum reports that the chief of Britain's Secret Intelligence Service said that President Bush wanted to remove Mr. Hussein through military action justified by the conjunction of terrorism and WMD. Justified by doesn't mean excused by. It means justified by. That's the reason he wanted to remove Saddam Hussein. And it was a genuine reason. All right, now let's get into this Downing Street memorandum. If somebody out there on the left continues to feel obsessed by this or feels that this is the smoking gun, this shows that Bush should be impeached, this is a terrible thing, it's a huge embarrassment. First of all, before you call, try to look at the thing. Look at it at our website at michaelmedved.com. That's M-E-D-V as in victory, E-D. But if you still believe that this is somehow an indictment rather than a complete exoneration of President Bush and Prime Minister Blair, if you still believe that it's some kind of indictment, give me a call and tell me why. Tell me why you continue on the left to be obsessed with this thing. 1-800-955-1776. All right, here's the point about this. It does look embarrassing on the top of it. When it appeared in the Sunday Times in Britain 4 days before the British election as a means of helping to sink Tony Blair, it didn't. Tony Blair got reelected for a third term. The secret Downing Street memo is the way they headlined it in the Sunday Times. And then on the top of it, they say secret and strictly personal, UK eyes only. And it says from Matthew Rycroft. And then there are carbon copies to the defense secretary, the foreign secretary, the attorney general, Sir Richard Wilson. And it says, Iraq, prime minister's meeting, 23rd July. Now, 23rd July when? 2002. This was almost a full year. It was 10 months before we actually went to war against Saddam Hussein. And this is part of what gets people's attention and say, oh, now we have something here that's really, really, really embarrassing. Because at the top it says, this record is extremely sensitive. No further copy should be made. It should be shown only to those with a genuine need to know its contents. John Scarlett summarized the intelligence and latest JIC assessment. Saddam's regime was tough and based on extreme fear. The only way to overthrow it was likely to be by massive military action. Saddam was worried and expected an attack, probably by air and land, but he was not convinced that it would be immediate or overwhelming. And then it goes forward. It says, C reported on his recent talks in Washington. And that would be this fellow from British intelligence, whose name is Richard Dearlove. C reported on his recent talks in Washington. There was a perceptible shift in attitude. Military action was now seen as inevitable. Bush wanted to remove Saddam through military action justified by the conjunction of terrorism and WMD, meaning weapons of mass destruction. But the intelligence and facts were being fixed around the policy. Now, this is where the whole thing comes in. They say, oh, they were fixing the intelligence. See, there is a difference here. If you go to British dictionaries, the word fixed means something different in British English than it does in American English. When you say, in British English, the intelligence and facts were being fixed around the policy, it means the intelligence and facts were being fixed, bolted on. They were being attached. They were being set around the policy. It does not mean they were being corrected or altered or changed. That is not the way a Briton, that is not the way an Englishman would use that word. And to support my point, you don't have to go to a dictionary. Just read the rest of the bloody memorandum, the rest of these minutes, because it makes it incredibly clear. It said, but the intelligence facts were being fixed around the policy. The NSC, National Security Council, had no patience with the UN route and no enthusiasm for publishing material on the Iraqi regime's record. There was little discussion in Washington of the aftermath after military action. And again, you want to say that's an indictment? Well, they hadn't even, this was still 10 months before military action. The defense secretary goes on, it continues here with the minutes, said that the U.S. had already begun spikes of activity to put pressure on the regime. No decisions had been taken, but he thought the most likely timing in U.S. minds for military action to begin was January, with a timeline beginning 30 days before the U.S. congressional elections. Actually, the timeline began a little bit after that because we began the invasion in April. The foreign secretary said he would discuss with Colin Powell this week. It seemed clear that Bush had made up his mind to take military action, even if the timing had not yet been decided. But the case was thin. Saddam was not threatening his neighbors, and his WMD capability was less than that of Libya, North Korea, or Iran. Now you may say, oh, this sounds horrible. It doesn't. Wait till you hear the very, very clear evidence right in the middle of this top secret memorandum that Bush believed that Saddam's WMDs were a real threat. We'll get to that and your calls coming up.
1-800-955-1776. Michael Medved. Broadcasting from Dallas on the nationwide Right Turns Book Tour, it's The Michael Medved Show.
21 minutes after the hour on The Michael Medved Show, confronting the latest item of left-wing hysteria. One of the items that leads people like Charles Rangel, one of the ranking Democrats in the House of Representatives, to say that the Iraq War is as bad as 6 million Jews being killed in the Holocaust. Yeah, that's what he said on the radio. I mean, okay, Democrats may believe that. You may believe that. If you do, if you believe that the so-called Downing Street memorandum, the minutes of a secret meeting, top secret meeting involving Tony Blair and his top advisors, if you believe that that somehow shows that Bush lied and then millions died, explain why you believe that this memorandum that shows, actually exonerates President Bush, shows him in a positive light, shows Prime Minister Blair in a positive light. If you believe that the opposite is true, tell me why. 1-800-955-1776. I was just reading to you from the actual memo. And again, you can read the whole darn thing on our website, michaelmedved.com. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but I am going to read you enough so you get the context. Because, see, that's the important part. People are taking words like fixed intelligence out of context. They're taking words that the case against Saddam was thin out of context. Because the context of this is very, very clear. Now, look, concerning weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, there are only two questions that are relevant. One of them has already been answered definitively. Now the second question is answered definitively. The two questions that are relevant are, were there weapons of mass destruction in Iraq? The answer is no. The second question, and it's highly relevant, is did Bush and Blair and Powell and Rumsfeld and Cheney believe that there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, or did they lie? This memorandum proves in a top secret meeting that the top policymakers in Britain and the United States absolutely believed that there were weapons of mass destruction, and they were a big problem. All right, here's from the Downing Street memo. This is the actual language of what was recorded. The military were continuing to ask lots of questions, reports this British representative from Washington, D.C. For instance, what were the consequences if Saddam used WMD on day one, or if Baghdad did not collapse and urban war fighting began? You said that Saddam could also use his WMD on Kuwait or on Israel, added the defense secretary. The foreign secretary thought the U.S. would not go ahead with a military plan unless convinced that it was a winning strategy. On this, U.S. and U.K. interests converged. But on the political strategy, there could be U.S.-U.K. differences. Despite U.S. resistance, we should explore discreetly the ultimatum. Saddam would continue to play hardball with the U.N. John Scarlett assessed that Saddam would allow the inspectors back in only when he thought the threat of military action was real. The defense secretary said that if the prime minister wanted U.K., United Kingdom, military involvement, he would need to decide this early. He cautioned that many in the U.S. did not think it worth going down the ultimatum route. It would be important for the prime minister to set out the political context to Bush. That's the conclusion of the memorandum. In other words, what they are saying is that they need to go back to the UN, which is what they did. And when they say up above that the case for war was thin, that was before they went back to the UN, before they got resolution from the Security Council 1441, which did indicate to Saddam that there would be serious consequences if he didn't cooperate. And he continued to not cooperate. I mean, this is an unbelievable thing. It's extraordinarily clear. Here's what the part that of course, the left loves to bring up. It says, but the case was thin. Saddam was not threatening his neighbors, and his WMD capability was less than that of Libya, North Korea, or Iran. We should work up a plan for an ultimatum to Saddam to allow back in the UN weapons inspectors. This would also help with the legal justification for the use of force. Okay, that was done. The plan to get the weapons inspectors back in was put forward. And it's very clear from this memorandum that if Saddam had agreed to allow the weapons inspectors back in unconditionally, and he had cooperated with the UN weapons inspection team, we would not have gone to war. Certainly the British were opposed to it. And there's also recognition here that the U.S. wouldn't have put it forward. I mean, this is really an unbelievable thing. The fact that this memorandum is being so ridiculously, utterly, completely misrepresented. 1-800-955-1776. The two key issues, says the memo, the minutes of the Downing Street meeting at the Prime Minister's residence, the two key issues were whether the military plan worked and whether we had the political strategy to give the military plan the space to work. Well, we now know the military plan worked. They gave room for the space for the military plan to work. The question now is whether we have the will to continue to push through to protect the victory. Kurt, in Los Angeles, you're on the Michael Medved Show.
Hi, Michael.
Hey.
I just basically wanted to point out that I think that your definition on fix is a little suspect, because that memo is causing an uproar in Britain as well. And if we're interpreting that word wrong, fixed, why is it that the Brits are up in arms about it?
Well, I can answer that for you. First of all, they're not up in arms about it. The memorandum was released 4 days before their election. And Tony Blair answered questions about it during those last 4 days. As Tony Blair recalled, he answered 30 questions a day those last 4 days about the memorandum. And he made the point about the use of the word fixed. He made the point that the memorandum supported his view of the war. And the British voters voted accordingly. In other words, Tony Blair got reelected, and yes, his majority went down to 60 seats. But frankly, in American terms, would we accept a 60-seat majority in the House of Representatives? I think so.
Michael, why is Tony Blair asking 30 questions if the Brits aren't in an uproar? You say, just loosely, no, they're not. Of course they are. It's being reported.
No, they were, because it was released in the middle of a campaign. Anything in the middle of a heated campaign, and that's particularly true of British campaigns because they're not long. A British campaign for Parliament, for Prime Minister, where they're choosing a new Prime Minister, or in this case, re-electing the old Prime Minister, is only a couple of weeks. So anything in the middle of that furious political activity, where basically they're going around the clock in political discussion because they don't have the one-year, two-year presidential race that we do, anything that is released then will be very intense. But all of this has been resolved in Britain. They're not, they haven't launched any special investigation. There isn't any talk of throwing Blair out of office. Blair hasn't been asked to apologize. This is the way the New York Times covers it, okay? And let me, maybe this will help to answer some of your concerns. The New York Times writes, Mr. Blair, who spoke frequently about the memorandum during his campaign, said it was written before the United States and Britain went to the United Nations seeking a resolution to justify military action in Iraq. Now, no one knows more intimately the discussions that we were conducting as two countries at the time than me, Mr. Blair said. The White House has always insisted that Mr. Bush did not make the decision to invade Iraq until after Secretary of State Colonel Powell presented the administration's case to the United Nations Security Council on February 2003. Which relied heavily on claims, now discredited, that Iraq had illicit weapons. But as early as November 21, 2001, Mr. Bush directed Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld to begin a review of what could be done to oust Mr. Hussein. That's the New York Times. So was Bush preparing for war? Absolutely. And one of the points that the Downing Street memorandum makes is that they couldn't even get the inspectors back in unless Saddam Hussein was credibly expecting war. So if you still think this represents a scandal and a problem, call me and tell me why.
1-800-955-1776. Michael Medved. broadcasting from Dallas on the Nationwide Right Turns Book Tour. It's The Michael Medved Show.
Okay, lefties out there, maybe you can explain to me at 34 minutes past the hour on The Michael Medved Show why it is that it's supposed to be embarrassing that the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom said the following in a top-secret meeting that has now been publicized because its minutes have been published. The Prime Minister said it would make a big difference politically and legally if Saddam refused to allow in the UN inspectors. Regime change and WMD were linked in the sense that it was the regime that was producing the WMD. That's one of about nine different sentences in the so-called Downing Street memorandum that show that Blair and Bush believed intently that Saddam Hussein had developed and did possess weapons of mass destruction. 1-800-955-1776. Josh in Los Angeles, you're on the Michael Medved Show.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Just wondering what, in your opinion, is so loony about the discrepancy in the memo. It says that military action seems inevitable. This is summer of 2002, when Bush was on the record publicly stating that there were no plans for military action.
He was not on the record as saying there were no plans. He said that we had not made the decision to go to war.
Why did it seem inevitable then in that memo?
Because they assume, and the memo makes it very clear, that they assume that Saddam Hussein will not allow the weapons inspectors back in, as in fact he did not. And he did not cooperate with the UN. In other words, that's the only reason it's inevitable. And it's very clear that Bush had not made the final decision to go to war. But what made the military action inevitable was the nature of the Saddam Hussein regime, which is how the whole memorandum begins.
Well, in my opinion, the only time that military action seemed inevitable was when Iraq violated the UN Security Council resolution. Now, we keep making the point that this was before they even took the case to the UN. So why are they assuming that military action is inevitable?
Okay, let me read it to you, and you should read the entire thing yourself.
I invite your listeners to go to afterdowningstreet.com, where they can read Bush's statements around the same time that the memo was released, that he clearly says there are no plans for military action.
No, Bush never said there are no plans. What Bush said is we have not made the decision to go to war. The president of the United States should have been impeached. If there was a president of the United States in the summer of 2002 who had no plans in the pipeline to go to war against Iraq, President Clinton had plans in the pipeline to go to war against Iraq. A president has to have that kind of contingency plan. And to say that there are no plans would have been disastrous and would have been, it seems to me, grounds for impeachment. Appreciate your call. Jasper in Redwood City, California. You're on the Michael Medved Show, San Francisco Bay Area. You're on.
I tell you, Michael Medved, you're a slave to this Bush, okay? It says very clearly, very, very clear, intelligence fixed. It said no weapons of mass destruction, and you a puppet. You a slave to this Bush.
Okay, let's listen very carefully and work on this together, Jasper. Here's part of what the memo says. The Prime Minister said it would make a big difference politically and legally if Saddam refused to allow in the UN inspectors. Regime change and WMD were linked in the sense that it was the regime that was producing the WMD. The two key issues were whether the military plan worked and whether we had the political strategy to give the military plan the space to work. The military were continuing to ask lots of questions, meaning the U.S. military. For instance, what were the consequences if Saddam used WMD on day one? Now, when this appears right in a top secret memo, doesn't it prove beyond any reasonable question that Bush and Blair believed that Saddam had WMD?
Bush, Blair, they lie to everybody. There is no WMD. That is clear. Where the WMD? Where? There is none. You are a slave to Bush. Slave.
Jasper, I appreciate it, and I will be sure to ask for a special reward from my master. Mike in Santa Monica, you're on the Michael Medved Show.
You can always tell when there's damaging information when the GOP message machine ramps up and starts misleading. Here's the thing. First of all, the idea of the fixed information has to do with the fact that they pushed information that made their case, and they pushed away information that didn't. anybody that needs to look at how Condoleezza Rice said that there was no other use for the aluminum tubes when it was widely known that there was other use for the aluminum tubes. But here's the thing that actually kills me is you just made a bald-faced lie.
Okay, you're going to point it out to all our listeners in the entire world. I'm getting ready to be nailed by Mike in Santa Monica, who says he has caught me in a bald-faced lie. You can try to catch me, too, by calling us at 1-800-955-1776. Mike, hang on. I want to give you a fair chance. Coming right up.
Broadcasting from Dallas on the Nationwide Right Turns Book Tour, it's The Michael Medved Show. Daily dose of debate.
Yeah, Michael, I disagree with you.
The Michael Medved Show.
44 minutes after the hour on The Michael Medved Show, the so-called Downing Street Memorandum, a transcription, it's not really a full transcription, it's sort of a summary of a top-level, top-secret, ultra-secret meeting in the Prime Minister's residence in London with Tony Blair and his top aides talking about a report on what was going on in Washington regarding the run-up in the war in Iraq. The left is treating this as if it's some kind of incriminating document. I absolutely believe that everybody should read it for themselves. That's why we've posted it on our website, Michael Medved, M-E-D-V, as in Victory, E-D, totally unedited, just as it appeared in the Times of London. Let people go there and read it for themselves, and you will see there is no doubt whatever. All doubt is now removed. That in the most secret, confidential, highest levels of leadership in the United States and in the United Kingdom, Prime Minister Blair and President George W. Bush believed, firmly believed, that Saddam Hussein possessed weapons of mass destruction. And if they believed that he possessed weapons of mass destruction, then it is very clear that people need to go away and shut up already about this tiresome Bush lied. If Bush believed that there were weapons of mass destruction and said so to people, then clearly he did not lie. But Mike in Santa Monica thinks not only that Bush lied, but that I'm lying. If you agree with him, give us a call, 1-800-955-1776. All right, Mike, hit me with your best shot.
Okay, here it is. Hans Blix was directed by our intelligence agencies on which sites to check. Hans Blix also asked for extra time to continue the inspections. You just said that the inspections were refused, that Saddam Hussein refused to allow the inspectors back into the country. That is a bald-faced lie.
It's not a bald-faced lie. If you read, there's a 1,200-page report. I'm sorry, you can go ahead and read the record. And laughing is always a very, very effective way of dealing with something. Go ahead and read the 1,200-page report that was filed by the Iraqi government in response to the demands of UN Resolution 1441.
And one of the things that in Iraq, when he asked for more time, you just said that he wasn't allowed back into Iraq. That's how do you not call that a lie?
Because the truth of the matter is that what you're talking about here is the requirements under 1441, which is a UN Security Council resolution that made specific demands of Saddam. Otherwise, there would be serious consequences. There's no one who claims, not the French, not the Russians, not the Chinese. No one who claims, other than Tariq Aziz, the former vice president for Saddam Hussein, that Saddam answered the demands of the UN Security Council resolution.
Michael, you said blatantly, they were not allowed back in the country. President Bush has said that blatantly. No one ever calls you guys on this, and it just blows my mind. Anybody that watched the news saw Hans Blix in Iraq.
Okay, Hans Blix, when you say let back in the country, I think Hans Blix came in and met at top levels with Iraqi officials. And Hans Blix himself has said, and he's written a book about it for goodness sake, has said that their cooperation was extremely far from what people expected. But the whole point about this is going back to this memo. It's very clear that Tony Blair and President Bush are in the process of agreeing that it is inappropriate to go to war until Saddam Hussein is presented with an ultimatum. They refer to that ultimatum several times. The ultimatum was presented, the matter was taken to the UN, and the resolution of that ultimatum was not effective. It was not what the UN demanded. And that's the basis on which we went to war. And you may disagree, and you may feel that, as the French did, and as Hans Blix did, that the inspectors should have been, quote, allowed to work and should have been allowed more time. But I don't think that any reasonable person, looking at the events of the end of 2002 and 2003, could possibly say that it would have been impossible for Saddam Hussein to have satisfied the demands placed upon him by the United States and by the United Nations.
But again, you know, they were asking for more time, Michael. The fact is that we were sending them two sites that we said had weapons. Those sites were coming up empty. Hans Blix was asking for more time to go to more sites, and what would have happened had we given him more time to search for more weapons? He would have found no more weapons. We would not have lost 1,700 troops. We would not have lost $400 billion and counting.
I happen to disagree with you. I think it's possible the war would have been postponed. But given the fact, I think that in his own way, Saddam Hussein wanted this war. Otherwise, it wouldn't have happened because he clearly could have avoided it. Jack in Seattle, you're on the Michael Med. Jack is not there to speak with us. I had mentioned before that the left is extraordinarily hysterical on this subject of the Iraq War. If you disagree with me, if you think that their interpretation of the so-called Downing Street Memorandum is accurate, that it's somehow a smoking gun, I think it's a smoking gun in the sense that what it shows very, very clearly is the clear belief that President Bush and Tony Blair had that weapons of mass destruction existed and were a threat. If you disagree with that assessment, call me at 1-800-955-1776. Charlie Rangel just uncorked a doozy. The congressman from New York City said concerning the Iraq War, he said, "It's the biggest fraud ever committed on the people of this country. This is just as bad as 6 million Jews being killed. The whole world knew it, and they were quiet about it because it wasn't their rocks that was being gored." Charles Rangel comparing the Iraq War to the Holocaust. Good comparison, you think? Jack in Seattle. Okay, you're on the line. Jack, you're on.
I'd like to say, first of all, I think that you're a very smart man, a very intelligent man, and your show, I love your show. But my question is now are you saying that all it takes is a belief force to go to war? If we believe that Iran has weapons of mass destruction, that we should go attack Iran. If we believe that North Korea has them, that we should go attack North Korea. So my question in short is, are you saying now that all we have to do is have a belief?
That there are weapons of mass destruction ought to go to war? No, I don't. And let me answer your question. If you can hang on, Jack, I want to give you a direct answer coming up.
Broadcasting from Dallas on the Nationwide Right Turns Book Tour, it's The Michael Medved Show.
Talk radio fans, would you like to listen to this show and other great programming from the comfort of your home in crystal clear digital sound? CRN Digital Talk provides you with great talk radio programming like this show in your home. Get talk radio now by calling your local cable or satellite provider and requesting CRN Digital Talk. Or call CRN Digital Talk today at 800-336-2225. That's 800-336-2225.
What does christianbook.com/music mean to me?
It means 20,000 songs at my fingertips.
Click, download, it's mine.
To me, it means downloads and discs.
I can still order the CD if I want.
christianbook.com/music means any style of music,
anytime.
From the people who really understand Christian music.
christianbook.com/music. Everything Christian for less. Or call 1-800-CHRISTIAN.
It means I'm closer to the music that brings me closer to God.
Broadcasting from Dallas on the nationwide Right Turns Book Tour, it's The Michael Medved Show.
And it's 55 minutes past the hour. If you're anywhere in the Dallas area, come out and join us at the Richardson Hotel, where we're celebrating the second anniversary of a great radio station, 660 AM K-Sky. All right, let's go back to Jack in Seattle. Jack, you asked a terrific question, and really good for you. You're exactly on point. You asked the question, if I'm saying that we were justified in going to war against Iraq, are we justified in going to war against Iran? Are we justified in going to war against North Korea, any other country that has weapons of mass destruction? That's your question, right? Well, Jack, are you there? Well, I guess he's not. Okay, but that, I think, is his question. It's a good question. The answer is no, because they made it very clear right in this Downing Street memorandum, the Downing Street minutes, that it's not just the weapons of mass destruction. It's the conjunction, the coming together of cooperation and support for Islamic terrorism with weapons of mass destruction. Saddam Hussein welcomed terrorists into Iraq, people like Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. He welcomed terrorists into Iraq like Abu Nidal. He supported international jihad against the United States. And no, he may not have had direct operational cooperation at the time of our liberation of Iraq with al-Qaeda. But he certainly had a long, long history of cooperation with and support for Islamic fanatics, the kind who killed so many Americans. And that combination with weapons of mass destruction was unique. Now, right here in the memorandum, it said Bush wanted to remove Saddam through military action justified by the conjunction of terrorism and WMD. And it says it right there. And then later on, it says in the memorandum, this is the British mucky-mucks, the higher-ups in the British government talking to each other. It says Saddam was not threatening his neighbors. The case was thin. Saddam was not threatening his neighbors, and his WMD capability was less than that of North Korea, Libya, or Iran. We should work up a plan for an ultimatum to Saddam to allow back in the UN weapons inspectors. This would also help with the legal justification for the use of force. It's very, very clear what they had in mind. Let's go to Mike in Cleveland. You're on the Michael Medved Show.
Yeah, if they really believed that there were weapons of mass destruction, why did they send Colin Powell to the UN to tell basically lie after lie after lie?
No, I'm saying they did believe there were weapons of mass destruction, of course.
Did they give any, like, really specific proof instead of a picture of a van or a picture of a drone airplane from 1991, which they knew had been disassembled after the Gulf War? Why tell lies like that?
Okay, first of all, if you are believing that President Bush and Secretary Powell and the rest of the administration told knowing lies, what do you think they had in mind? I mean, we were obviously going to succeed in the war. They didn't lead us into war thinking we were going to fail. And if we succeed in the war and they are telling lies to people, it would be found out. You see, this is the insanity of this. What I don't understand from the liberal point of view is what people think was in Bush's mind. If he knew there were no weapons and he lied about it deliberately, why would anyone believe that this would remain a secret in this greatest nation on God's green earth?
I really want to pay off my bills and credit card debt, but the bank said no to my home loan.
Are you a homeowner and need cash? Do you want money to do home improvements this summer or just looking for a lower fixed payment?
Where do I start?
By calling Omega Mortgage Acceptance Corp and take advantage of rates below 6% and even skip a payment.
Skip a payment? I like that.
You don't need mountains of paperwork or tons of documentation. You don't even need tax returns or W-2s. Great if you're self-employed.
What about my credit? I've had a bankruptcy.
Omega specializes in home loans for homeowners just like you. Even with credit problems, late payments, mortgage lates, or a past bankruptcy, Omega Mortgage Acceptance Corp makes it easy. Lower your monthly payments, get the cash you deserve, and a rate below 6%. It all starts with an easy, no-hassle, five-minute call.
Omega got it done.
Call toll-free, 888-OMEGA-07. That's 888-663-4207. Licensed by the Cal DRE number 01411312. Ask how you can skip a payment this summer. Call now, 888-OMEGA-07. 888-OMEGA-07.